Everybody is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing it is stupid. So said Albert Einstein. Hello and welcome to episode 7 of Say More Wombles. So, do we believe that the children know our future? Say More Wombles is brought to you by some of us responsible for bringing you Yellow and Blue back in the day. We're non-affiliated, non-partisan, and at least we do all agree that Jack Curry is Young Player of the Season already, don't we? We're the Same Old Wombles. I'm Mark Lewis, aka Tall Mark, fresh from an appearance, a guest appearance on German TV, talking about all things AFC Wimbledon, and I will translate for you if you don't understand German. Tonight's panel features Adam Proctor. I may have misread the WhatsApp group on Saturday, but having been foiled by Southwest Trains in his attempt to get to Saturday's game, it seemed like he went off to watch Dusseldorf. Maybe I misunderstood. Whereas Matt Cooper, also joining us tonight, he gave up the chance to see us win at home on Saturday just to be a good dad. However, Niall Cooper did see us win for the first time in over a year. He's a media whore, fresh from the Labour Party conference and doing some press interviews from his car bonnet, apparently.
And a bad dad.
Last but not least, this evening, we have a special guest joining us.
Woo!
Welcome to Amory Godfrey, current serving Donstrass board member, level 6 Hampshire FA referee, and former sports scientist intern at AFC Wimbledon. So, tonight we're going to discuss how good is it to actually win a game?
Very.
And what is it like to be on the Donstrass board? A couple of interested parties that should give us some info on that, insight even. And what should be at the top of Danny Macklin, our new CEO's in tray. And finally, just to tax Adam's brain cells, we'll of course have some numbers. So there we are. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Alcom's episode 7 of Same Old Wombles.
All I wanna do is watch football. All I wanna do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Times when you're down to 10. What can you do when they're coming at you? You gotta take it back to them. Done what we should for the
brilliant, brilliant, Mark. I particularly like the Einstein thing at that. That was great. It seemed to be the one thing that kept popping up on my Facebook or Twitter feed today for some reason. So I think you've done a lot of good research digging that one out, mate. A lot of good research. No, how you get those quotes. It's just the first thing you see on Twitter, isn't it?
Yeah, I foolishly joined Twitter recently and I just distract myself even easier than I used to, you know.
We'll talk about Twitter a lot later on. There's some very interesting tweets buzzing around, but that's for when we get a bit serious later, Mark.
Well, indeed. First and foremost, we've got to be happy on a Monday morning, actually on a Saturday night. What is that feeling like on a Saturday night to actually go home or just be at home chilling out, realizing that we have actually won a game?
I'm still in shock, Mark. It's after that final whistle, I actually kind of forgot what it felt like. It was just like lots of people hugging people, lots of people in the bar going, "What is this? What is this weird sensation?" People like, you know, actually going, "We actually won. We actually won." I had somebody coming up to me in the bar going, "What do we do now?" And I just said, "I think you go to the bar and you drink," is my answer to that. Those of you who don't know, I'm not a big drinker. You know, I bemoan the fact that you can't get fresh orange juice anywhere in the ground, right? That's where I'm at. I'm quite sad like that. But if only I was on the board, I could sort that out.
Dear. Well, Anne-Marie is on the board. Welcome to this rabble of chat. Great to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
Were you at the game on Saturday? Were you there experiencing an actual real atmosphere at Plough Lane?
I was there down in orange juice in the bar after the match. No, it was brilliant. And I totally agree. I actually had a conversation with someone last week who said, before the match, realistically, when did you last enjoy watching a Wimbledon match? And I really didn't know what to say. And my answer was, we saw the women's team win last week 2-0, and that was great. But yeah, it was such relief, and I totally agree with Niall. It was a little bit looking around, everyone thinking, what do we do now? How do we celebrate this? So yeah, it was nice and well deserved. I think it must be a massive relief for the players to finally get to that result, and to, I think the last few minutes of the game were really, really nervous, and I'm just so glad we grafted it out and we could all breathe.
Yeah, I think for me the one thing I just find is a relief is not having that torrent of abuse online. I find that is, I'm just so tired of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was a major relief. I was really upset not to be there. And I'm not sure what everyone else is like, but I just kept watching the goals over and over again because it's quite. And I, when I saw Zanev's save at the end, great keeper by the way, Niall. I thought
he's a confidence goalkeeper, Matt. He's a confidence goalkeeper.
You know that bit where you just go, well, I know we've won this game, but surely.
So here's the maddest thing. There was no electronic scoreboard, which meant that, as far as I could see, no substitute numbers were put up, which also meant that no extra time was put up either.
It was so stressful because no one knew how long there was left to go and everyone was looking at the fourth official. But I don't know what's going on with that, why there's no board. But
there was a whole thing they said on iFollow that they hadn't been able to get any batteries. And of course, they were saying, well, there's a supermarket just over the road. And apparently we haven't had a board for weeks. Well, I mean, I haven't noticed that. But of course, that would have drove me absolutely balmy. But yeah, it was very odd. There's no board. So yeah, I think the first thing the Don's Trust board need to do is learn how to buy batteries from a supermarket. Do you know what I mean? Come on.
That's the biggest priority.
It is an operational issue, not a strategic one. So that's a PLC issue. So, you know, me and Anne-Marie can pass the buck on that quite seriously. So if anybody has got issues about that, write to the PLC, not me and Anne-Marie. We just make things look pretty. That's our job.
If I can just add a shout out to the fourth official, because as in my refereeing side life, holding up the board of the fourth official is like your biggest moment, and that we've not given them that on a match day. So that's pretty gutting for them.
You're totally right. I can imagine that. Can you imagine that? They're totally gutted. Their entire like reason for being at the game is for that little 20 seconds of fame. And it would have been really good as well, because it was seven minutes of added time. That would have been quite big. They'd have got a big, like, ooh, everybody would have been right focus of everything then. Sorry, Mark. Go.
I was just going to say, since this season, basically, since the Doncaster game, I guess, when we let in those late goals, I've told my son to literally start timing how much extra time is played, however much it says is going to be played, how much is played. And this week it was ideal, obviously, because we had no idea how long it was going to be. So every time it went from 1 minute to 2 minute to 3 minute to 4 minute and so on, he just kept saying 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute. And the more it went on, the level of emotion between my son, my daughter, my wife and I, it was almost like, well, they weren't all there at Manchester and they weren't all there. They were all there for the Fleetwood game, but they were much, much younger for the Fleetwood game when Midson scored his penalty. But somehow the levels of emotion were raised to that ridiculous level just because we'd forgotten how to win a game. And both the fans and the players clearly had almost forgotten that as well. But we made it.
I'd like to ask, what changed? What was different? What was different this time? Was it tactics or was it the level of opposition? What changed?
There was a really good statistic that was surfacing on Facebook. It said the amount of passes between our centre backs, right? Which Barrow was something like 200 odd. On Saturday, it was 40. Yeah. So basically, we were a lot more direct. So if you looked at it, we were whacking the ball down to the flanks where Isaac and Jack were doing brilliantly. You know, we totally had the left side. You know, you just saw that. We were just more direct, which, as you all know, as a Wimbledon fan brought up in the 80s, then I much appreciate that because I don't understand this passing stuff. And this grass pitch thing, that's always bugging me. I mean, we're supposed to have it up in the air, aren't we? That's what the ball's supposed to be like, about, I don't know, 20, 30 metres in the air. That's where the ball's supposed to... Adam disagrees with this. But Adam, just Amory, for your benefit, also likes Nesta Guinness-Walker. So he can't really talk about anything related to football without any kind of justification. Just doesn't know a thing. Adam does edit this podcast. So, you know, whatever.
This I'll edit that out. Right out. No, you can still pass along the floor forward. That is possible. No, but no, again, I think Paris played a great game again. I think that, yeah, we it came together. That was the thing for me. It started to come together. And yes, I think that statistic of passes between the centre-backs clearly shows that we are playing the ball forward a lot more. So, yeah, it was... I mean, I wasn't there, which I'm so annoyed about, but I couldn't... Southwest train strikes totally scuppered me. So, but yeah, I watched it on iFollow and I had a semi-good idea what was going on. Mark, go on.
Just for Anne-Marie's benefit, at the end, we play this silly little game called Sum Numbers, where I literally just give you a number, which is the answer to a question. You have to work out what the question is. I'm going to have to really quickly, off the top of my head, come up with a new one, because one of the answers this week was exactly what Niles just said, which was, how many passes did our centre-backs manage compared to the Barrow one? But never mind.
Mark, you can ask me that one. I might still get it wrong.
You're right, yeah. By the way, just for Adam's benefit, I know he was watching. I actually thought Paris had a shocker, and he let so many people go. But frankly, we were literally throwing our body in the way. Harry Pell had an absolute storming game, as he should, because he was name-checked by me on episode one, I believe it was, as players we should sign before I had any idea that we were going to sign him. So there you go. Anyway, time to bring in our special guest now. Anne-Marie is a serving member of the Donsos board, and we don't have 20 questions for you, but we have a few questions. And this is kind of around the theme of why people should think about standing, because nominations obviously fairly recently opened up for the Donsos board. So a couple of random questions, and anyone else join in about, you know, why you're involved. I was just thinking, maybe give us a little preamble, how you came to be on the Donsos board, because I believe you co-opted. And what are you actually involved with day to day in terms of your role?
Yeah, so I was co-opted. So it was back in May time, around the Easter bank holiday weekend. I knew that at the time that there was the potential for new board members to join at that time. And a couple of the board members who are currently on it got in touch with me and sort of said, you know, is this something you'd be interested in? Because I'd been involved the last couple of years with setting up the Dons for Diversity LGBT supporters group, and I knew, you know, really lucky enough to know a few people around the club, and you know, built up some, you know, fan engagement sort of generally through coming to football over the years, and celebrating over orange juices. So when we used to be able to celebrate more often. So it kind of naturally happened over that weekend, and we had some really, really good conversations about where we want to go as a board, and kind of diversifying not just, you know, the people on the board, but the ideas, and trying to, you know, have a kind of more holistic approach, I guess, to how the people on the board and where the club's going. And at the time, it was obviously a really, really difficult time to join, because I think it was the week before we were relegated. So it was very much, you know, we kind of knew that was on the horizon. Let's stop and regroup and see where we go next. At the moment, I'm very much kind of more involved in the diversity and inclusion side of things. So I work quite closely with Mandy Bynan at the club, who is our diversity and inclusion officer within the club staff. Looking particularly at, you know, specific events and match day bits and pieces that we're putting on. Niall does an incredible amount of work on this as well. And I think we're already loving some of the bits and pieces that we're getting sneak previews of for the Black History Month at the moment. And it's just really kind of having that role to make sure that the club and the Dons Trust are doing the things we should be doing. For, you know, wider football, for the fans, for the club, but also with regards to some of the things, there are some things we would like to do, we can't necessarily do this season, but so doing a bit of planning for next season already, getting some ideas together and really kind of networking within the fan base and the local community to try and get everybody on board with where we're going. But yeah, no, I'm really, really very much enjoying it. In response to your question about why should people do it, firstly, I would say if I can, then anyone can. And I also think if people are so passionate, if you're an AFC Wimbledon fan, generally, you're a different breed, aren't we? You know, we're not like other football fans of other clubs. We are passionate about who we are, what we do, and how the club runs things. And it's that really massive opportunity to have your say and be involved. And I'd say the board are exceptionally supportive of any kind of ideas and as other club. So yeah, I think it's anyone should go for it. And if anyone is interested, to reach out and have a chat with any of us. But it'll be exciting few weeks for sure, seeing, because I think there's going to be a lot of interest this year.
So you were co-opted. Does that mean that you now stand in an election, or you have to stand in an election, or how does that work?
So in December, so my co-option, is that the right terminology now? Takes me up to December. So if I was to be re-elected, I'd be standing for election.
And Anne-Marie, I mean, the million-dollar question for me is, well, first of all, congratulations. I think all the work you and Nala are doing is brilliant. I genuinely do. I'm excited about the Black History Month event coming up next week. I'm going to come along to see that film because it looks amazing. What an amazing thing to do. And I love all this sort of stuff. Just so it brings me on to the things that I get disappointed about, which is the immediate response to that from the woke right, who just get upset about everything. And they come back criticising things. It just really upsets me. And in the last 2 weeks, I've taken myself off of all of the social media, all of the Facebook social media. I don't, all the AFC fan groups, I've just stopped reading it because it just became so divisive. And I personally, I have thought about it a couple of years ago. I thought about standing, but I wouldn't stand now. So I think it's a great sentiment that, you know, we should all do it. But I just think the level of abuse that people get, and I'm really worried that we're going to lose some brilliant people this round and in future rounds because people don't want to have that sort of abuse. I just wonder what you think.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that. You know, I think a lot of other people have said as well in terms of some of the things that are online. I'm sorry you've had to leave some of these groups, and they can be quite toxic. Unfortunately, that's the nature of society, sometimes nature of football. It's not acceptable. And I've done the same, had to, you know, step back a lot from that side of things because it's not healthy. How we fix that overall culture, I don't know. But I think from our point of view as a board, we just have to, you know, try and role model what we expect of other members, other fans. I think that's really important in terms of the abuse. I mean, I had a bit of a time of it when I joined the board back earlier this year, which I did find exceptionally difficult. I've been quite open about that in terms of, you know, questioning the decision around it and why I joined and what my skills were compared to maybe other people on the board. I felt that it came down to the fact that it was my gender and my age that these questions came around. So I had, again, had that immense support, and everyone on the board has kind of said, you know, use it as fire in the belly to keep moving things in the right direction. And prove these people wrong and do your best to represent, you know, the really good work that does happen at the club.
Let me jump in. Go on, we all went off mute at that same time. I was off mute first, just saying, Adam, right? And then I saw Mark put his finger up and then you were next. So, you know, I totally get that. I mean, it's been a moment. So social media stuff is really toxic. And I've been on the board for what, 2 years now, and it feels it can feel really, really hard. And we're good that we've got a board that are quite supportive of it. You know, it is a small number of voices that come out, but you know what people forget is that everybody on the board is actually still a person. We all passionately believe in pushing AFC Wimbledon forward. It's not like we're here to be detrimental. We actually want to make the club better, and that's why we're on it. That's why we stood. But it is really hard. So, you know, to realise what the knock-on effects of things you say, you know, I've gone on social media and I will try my best to say, right, okay, well, you're saying this. What constructively can you do to make a difference to improve things? How can you actually, you know, what difference are you going to make? What are you, you've got all this anger inside you. How are you going to turn that into something that's productive, that drives the club we all love on? Because a lot of the messages and stuff is just not constructive. It doesn't actually add anything to making our club better. And if you want to make your club better, then, you know, in a way, get off your ass and do stuff, you know, rather than sit on a computer and type abuse, because it doesn't help anyone. You know, we are there actually trying to do stuff. Give us some constructive ideas, give us some really good way of backing up, you know, and that's where I think you can make a difference, because otherwise it leaves a lot of us really questioning why we do it sometimes, because it is bloody hard. You know, it's, you know, I've passionately believe in AFC Wimbledon, I passionately believe in what we do at the Dons Trust, and it's difficult when you face that. So it's no surprise that Matt doesn't listen to it anymore. Anne-Marie isn't there that often. And even, you know, I'm very selective about when I go in, and I have to be in the right mood. Because otherwise, you know, it's just not a pleasant place to be sometimes. Sorry, I know Adam and Mark, you both had fingers up. I've got to say, Adam is standing. So he definitely, you know, we need to be giving a big round of applause for that, and putting a load of cotton wool around him to make sure he gets the support he needs.
No, but I think it's difficult with these kind of things. So obviously, as people here know, I teach and work with games design students. And so I know, and also technology and that sort of stuff, and the toxicity that can come through various means in that area. I do think, unfortunately, we're giving more voice to a small minority than is necessary, actually. And I think it's easy to be a keyboard warrior and to press some buttons. And as everyone knows in this group, I haven't been on social media for years, because I just felt it went very toxic in general terms. So it's frustrating. But I do think, unfortunately, that we are probably giving air to people who are a minority a lot of the time, because we find it obviously upsetting, damaging, and wrong in lots of ways, which is frustrating. But I guess for me, the thing I want to know is, you know, all of us here, albeit we're white middle-aged men, we are very keen on diversity influencing football for all the positive reasons. That diversity is a fantastic thing. So I wonder, Anne-Marie, if you could talk about some of the amazing things that diversity is doing for the club, and how we continue to encourage people who aren't like us to come to the games and to enjoy the other things that Wimbledon stands for and that makes us different. I really would like to hear a bit more about that, actually.
Well, I think it's you know, it's amazing. We've got three women on the board, and I think if you just look at I haven't got the data or anything, but I should imagine that if you look across the Football League, you won't see that at any other clubs, or if you do, it certainly won't be that many. And that in itself is an immense stride forward in you know, making it the actual representation of the fans. You know, the fact that that's a third of the board are women, that wouldn't have happened 10 years ago. So we are making really big strides. And obviously, I know it's been a rocky start for a number of reasons since we've been back at Plough Lane, because of COVID and various different reasons, but you can see on a match day how diverse the fan base is. It already was at King's Meadow, but we're reaching into different parts of the community now and making it, you know, I think I may be obviously completely biased, but I think the match day experience is great. You just look at the fan zone. We have so many different catering facilities available. You just don't get that at other clubs. You know, we're in League Two, and we've got probably one of the best fan zones in certainly in our league. You know, and we've got that representation, that outreach, and it's slowly happening, and it is, you know, it's going to be a process in terms of that reaching out and diversifying the fan base more. And some people, the critics, will say, why is it important? Why do we have to diversify as long as we've got bums on seats? But, you know, we're FC Wimbledon. We need to be, your football club represents the community. and that is the community we're in, and we have to make sure that we are opening ourselves up to be approachable, available, or fun, whether that's through some of the incredible foundation work that happens, whether that's through some of the work that DLAG do. It's just a foot in the door, both ways, for fans to come to us and us to reach out to the community. In terms of some of the things that we have arranged for the season, we have, well, I won't name the player at this time until it's all confirmed, but we will be unveiling our very first ambassador for amongst the playing staff for Dons for Diversity. There are a handful of other clubs in the country who've done this, just to really kind of connect the playing squad with the wider fan base and sort of more woke issues, as Matt might say, as you said earlier. And I just think that's the kind of thing, that's a massive step forward, that a player has agreed to put their head above water on a topic like this and agree to kind of represent us and say, yeah, it's okay. It's absolutely fine. We're with this. We support you. So that's one thing that will be unveiled. Obviously, the main, that probably be unveiled around Christmas time. So nice Christmas present for us over at Dons for Diversity. And I think, you know, Niall, feel free to have a chat at this point about some of the bits and pieces to look out for this month, because I'm not quite sure what is and isn't a secret.
All right, I will say that largely because Matt's been absolutely gagging to talk, so I think it's really important that I just talk instead of him for a moment. Right, so the person you mentioned, I have to say I was there when Anne-Marie grabbed the player involved, and he was so keen. It was amazing. It was like there was no doubt at all. He was totally up for it, so it was absolutely brilliant. So that's a nice little teaser for you to know that he was just so positive. It's great. In terms of what we've got this month, 13th, we have the Black, Yellow and Blue history film that looks fantastic, absolutely stunning. I've seen a couple of clips of it. That's going to be in the Silver Lounge at 6 o'clock before the Dons Trust SGM. So it's open to all fans to go up there and see that film. It's brilliant. Then on the 20th, we've got a club event for staff and volunteers at the club. Over lunchtime, just to have a few speakers just talking about how important Black history is. And then on the 29th, we've got we will be having a gospel choir at the ground. Hopefully that's all being sorted out. We've got a massive outreach to loads of local schools that will all be there, and that will be the final bit of Black History Month. Of course, we've got some fantastic articles thrown in the programme, all by our wonderful Mark Lewis, who did the first one this week, which I thought the front cover was amazing. So we've got some more coming in for that. And I know we've got some other really great interviews in that film. Just as a little trailer for you, are extensive interviews with Tony White, Francis Joseph and Carlton Fairweather, among others. So that would be absolutely brilliant. So yeah, just really looking forward to it. And in between all of that, we've also thrown in Oktoberfest, so there's a chance for all the local students to gather at Crewe and get we've done loads of partnerships with loads of universities, so it should be a great festival event down there as well, with an umpa band, German beer and loads of street food and stuff like that. So for those of you who are, you know, kind of moaning about what we're doing at the club, that's very much being led by the Dons Trust. So, you know, if we're doing some sort of activity, some sort of outreach to local communities, then that's just October. Loads more coming up.
That sounds fantastic. And I can't take credit for all the things you just give me credit for, to be honest. I would give a big shout out actually at this point to Gary Jordan, who took over editing the programme this season. I know Gary and Niall have been in dialogue together, and Gary actually just asked me, because I'm just a frustrated journalist at heart, really, whether or not I would be interested in writing some stuff and doing some research for stuff. Obviously, I'm not necessarily the appropriate person to write about racism in football, but I've sadly heard it and seen it and seen enough examples of it. So hopefully the article was good. I've written another one that's going out in the next home programme. There's a third one. And basically, it's just tracing the history all the way through, starting with Tony White and players in the 70s. The first one talks about Fash. It talks about Eric Young. It talks about Brian Gale, through the late 80s when we were teenagers and Anne-Marie was knee-high to a grasshopper. And then he's going to start talking, obviously, about, arguably the greatest Wimbledon player, Bobby Earle, And everyone at Selhurst, and then bringing it right through to the current, Isaac Ogundore and NYC and everybody else, obviously, who's representing the team nowadays. So I think that's fantastic. And all those events you described are wonderful as well. We could talk about this for the whole podcast, but actually we've got other things we want to cover. So I'm going to wrap this one up quickly just by asking both Anne-Marie and Niall to be as succinct as possible to answer this one, which is, if you knew now what you know, if you knew beforehand what you know now about being a Don's Trust board member, would you actually still put yourself forward to stand?
Honest answers.
No, well, we're trying to encourage people to stand here. Look, there've been highs and there've been lows, and it is the social media flack is really difficult, and you get frustrated. Yeah, I think in overall, yes, because I see the club moving in the right direction. I'm one of these people that works in media and PR, and I wanted everything to happen yesterday. So I'm frustrated that it's taken a lot longer to get to where we are. But we are moving in the right direction.
But relatively similar answer to now, to be fair. I work in a quite fast-paced kind of line of work where we're always looking for quick wins and sort of instant. I work in social care as an occupational therapist. So we're often setting goals, and I'd like to be achieved in a week. And I think it took me a little while to realize, okay, some of this stuff is going to take a while. And I'd absolutely, yes, I would still stand knowing what I know now. Can't speak highly enough of the current board members. They're amazing people, as well as the club staff as well. So I think having got to know that now as well, learned an awful lot about football, about myself, about AFC Wimbledon, about the Don's Trust, you know, how everything all sort of coordinates. I know that that's a sort of ever-evolving picture. But yeah, absolutely, I would encourage anyone to stand for sure. Genuinely.
Fabulous. Excellent. Thank you very much, both of you. Okay. So for fear of giving Niall more opportunity to speak, we're now going to move swiftly along and welcome Danny Macklin, who I've already welcomed from the St. Mary Wombles and invited to join the pod. He probably can't join us without joining the other pods as well, but, you know, all fair in love and war, as they say. So we have a new managing director, I believe is his title, who'll be joining us 1st of November, once he's obviously working his notice with his current business. So who is he, and how did we land him, and what are his credentials? And apparently Niall can fill us in on this one.
Niall, have you got something to say, Niall? Niall, what is it, mate? Anything there, Niall? I don't want to talk over you, mate. I'll take your spot.
I know Danny. Danny Macklin is my mate, Danny. Oh, whatever, not quite like that. So how do I know Danny? I know Danny because Danny was he was the CEO of Leighton Orient. And Leighton Orient were one of the first clubs to join Fair Game, for which we all know that I'm massively involved in. So in the very first meeting I had with Danny, he is, like, if you ever want somebody to play poker on your team, right, whatever, get Danny Macklin. We had an hour-long meeting with Danny Macklin. Shut up, Matty. He's writing some really bad stuff in the chat. But I had an hour-long meeting with Danny Macklin, and Danny Macklin was like going, you're asking me loads of questions, totally straight-faced, there with his like owner. I'm there with John Scales. I want to say, Matt, John Scales, just in case Johnny Scales, another one of my mates, by the way, Matt. Matt's just going to be going to fall asleep. So, and he just like played it completely straight. And at the end of it, about three quarters of the way through, he just said, you know, I was always going to join Fair Game, but I've just been keeping you, asking you all these stuff just for the laugh, just to see how you go. So he's really, really good. His background, right, Matt, I've moved on now. His background was on is events management. So what he's really interested in is about how you can actually fill the stadium, and how we can actually get all that venue space being used, how we can make financial worth out of the stadium, really monetize it. So I think where we can get to, which is really different to what we've had before, is somebody who will add revenue and add value to the club. So like you would talk about where do we need to, how do we need to grow? We need to grow by making sure that we have as many people involved in filling that ground 24/7. He's also a passionate believer in the community. He's a passionate believer in fan ownership. He believes that what we have done, what we haven't done, is sell our USP to a national audience, an international audience. He believes that being fan run is what makes AFC Wimbledon unique. Throughout the rest of the game, you know, clubs in London and clubs overseas or whatever, they haven't got that, and we have, which makes us the ability to actually make a load of more money from national and international outlets and national and international sponsors. So it's, there's so much more in that. How do we land? I'm going to stop now, let Adam talk. Because Matt, I could talk for a bit longer.
No, that's fantastic, Noel, because the, not that I got anywhere in the last elections and I don't expect to get anywhere in the next elections. But one of the big things for me was the fact that we have a USP, and that is the fan ownership model and all the kind of stuff that surrounds that and enabling us to be community centred. So that sounds fantastic. I mean, what have you got any inklings as to how he's going to kind of market that and take that forward? Because I think it's so important, but it's not. I'm not a marketeer and all those kind of things. But I do think that we are. That is our missing trick, that we haven't really emphasised that point to grab fans, not just in the local area, but from across the world, who really love football, but they want to see football as something that is, you know, that connects to people, which is what it always has done, you know, in general terms. What do you think he's going to bring with that? Because that sounds fantastic.
I mean, he's very, very, very passionate. So when you hear him talk, he's like, really, we'll drive people on. The Silver Lounge, he wants to transform into something that is with the best AV and gets as many people in there as possible all the time. He wants to see outreach into those kind of international and national markets. He wants to try really do that and reach out. He's got a very good connections through his business partnerships and so on with national brands. So it's like looking at where can we get that bigger sponsorship than we get now. So I think that we will be looking at striving to get even bigger deals, but that's only possible because of who we are. That's the bit, you know, this whole idea of, oh, we can go and get some other big sponsor, a big sugar daddy. Why would you invest in AFC Wimbledon? What makes us unique? And I think that's the bit that attracts Danny to us. He walks around the ground, he sees our story and he sees the stadium, and you can see him getting really excited about getting his teeth into that and really grabbing that and doing that. You know, yeah, I'll admit he did speak to me a bit before applying. He did want to know what the club was like. He did want to know whether it was worthwhile applying, and whether he could, and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it was great to have that chat with him and stuff, and you know, basically encourage him to say, yeah, make sure you throw that bit in. So, you know, that's really important. Mark Lewis has just put, surprised Niall didn't scare him off. So for all those anti-woke people out there, I'm really sorry, you know, that I didn't do that. And thank you, Mark, for saying that. Whatever. Yeah, no, he is a good person. He is a good person. He's going to have his ups and downs, and we're not going to see that. It's not going to be a massive improvement on the pitch because it's not his responsibility. His responsibility is helping the club financially off the pitch and reach out to communities. And if that long-term, I think will be our big benefit, but you know, we're not going to see results dramatically change because we've got a new MD. We're going to see what happens off the pitch improve, I hope.
It's amazing everything you've done for the club. I mean, I'm surprised there isn't a Niall Cooper stand or stadium. And you brought these people. I think the thing we all like about you is how humble you are, and that's just, it's one of your attributes, I think.
Does anyone want to talk about what rubbish artwork there is around the stadium?
I'd just like to say
rubbish artwork that I don't know who's responsible for that. That Womble Till I Die thing, or that big cartoon, little bit
feature. Of course you wouldn't know, because he's a very humble person, doesn't talk about it. But one thing I am interested in.
Anne-Marie, listen to the old podcast. Any of the old podcasts when you're hearing Matt going on about this glorious cartoon stuff, or this Womble Till I Die malarkey, or the fact that he's now in charge of doing all the artwork around the ground. Whatever.
I can see why Adam stepped away from social media, because this is getting toxic, guys.
I'm just interested to know with Danny, with this thing, because I think the commercial side of it is good. I genuinely think the commercial side of it is good. But one thing I'm always interested in is engaging with the local community. Yes, I think you need to think on different a macro and micro levels. So in terms of bringing in future sponsorship and big stuff, we need to look internationally because we've got a brand. People like John Green have got a real investment in our story, and that's the thing that sells. But on a micro level, in terms of filling those other spaces up, I think that it's really good to get hold of community groups and get them in and make sure that they're involved in it as well. So it's not just about, you know, making sure the Silver Lounge is full of things for, you know, commercial companies, but it's also about engaging with the local community, making sure they can use our facilities as well.
I think Anne-Marie made a really good point before talking about the type of food, for example, we got, hadn't even occurred to me. But I mean, I grew up in Wimbledon, I lived in Colliers Wood for a while. So the community around Wimbledon, Colliers Wood, Tooting, Stretton, Balham, whatever, you know, you've got a totally diverse area there. So having not just your normal burgers and chips and pizza or whatever, but actually having something serving jerk chicken, for example, that is properly local cuisine, which you would like to think, because enough people post about this on social media nowadays, that's the type of thing that people would pick up and say, look, this is a rather different type of food and different type of experience people will get, which means they'll keep coming back. Obviously, our outreach overseas, rather than just, look, it's been amazing the commercial deals that have been done up to this point over the last 20 years or so. But obviously, but if we can reach further than that to different people who are the non-obvious targets, so much benefit can come from that. The one thing I'm talking about local community activity, I'd like to just give a quick shout out to Dominic Tuma, Dom on Twitter. He's been doing some specific door-to-door activity, passing on leaflets and information and scarves to a number of businesses in the Tooting, Balham and South Wimbledon community areas, looking to try and get some opportunities for these businesses to engage, and Elsfield as well, obviously, to engage with fans and fans to obviously use their services, whether they're hairdressers or a kebab salon or whatever. So look him up on Twitter. He's doing a great job. Well done to Dom. And that's exactly the type of community engagement we need to continue with.
I was thinking, I just add to that, Mark, is that the two Chris's, Chris Slavin and Chris Thorpe, have been also going around the area with giving out leaflets and really engaging and getting involved in the community. And that's something that they're really keen to push on, because there are so many people who don't know that we're here. So reaching out to communities, I think they're really leading on that. And Bal, also one of the kind of staff members, have been really keen to look at how we can grow that. And I think getting more people involved in that community outreach would be brilliant. I'll let Anne-Marie talk a bit more, because I saw her hand flip
up. It was just a really quick one. I take generally a rather direct approach to, I think it's indoctrinating people into being Wimbledon fans using scarves. So I bought up a few when they were all in the sale for £5 or whatever, and dropped them in at all the local cafes and eateries all around the ground to basically say, you've not really got a choice. It's yours now. You're Wimbledon fans. That I just take the direct approach, much like the football at the weekend. Go with direct. I think with the outreach, it will slowly happen. But I think there's so many different ways that we can do it and use the facilities at the stadium. My partner this week actually attended St Mary's Stadium, because we're down in Winchester, so Southampton's ground. They use it all the time for conferences, for kind of various different things for the university, or through she went along for a conference around various different sort of medical exhibitions. We've got St George's on the doorstep at Wimbledon. You know, we've got so many different aspects, you know, not necessarily relating to sport or to football, that we can tap into. So I think watch this space, and I think Danny will be really, really proactive with this. So very excited for certainly the next 12 months.
Good stuff indeed. Quick question for Matt and for Adam as non-board people. What would you say should be Danny as CEO's main specific number one priority?
I think I said it. It's to double down on the USP of what AFC Wimbledon is.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree on that, and engagement with the local community, making sure that our facilities are used by the local community as well. So to be a community, to be an amazing community hub, I think would be a wonderful thing.
And I guess we're all in agreement that that's the kind of thing that will actually endear him to the fans, to the supporters, because we know we can't obviously affect what's going on the pitch.
No, definitely. I mean, we just mentioned St Mary's. I've got to go to St Mary's this week for part of the University of Southampton team. Their stadium is not that great compared to ours, so we could definitely do way better. So, yeah, we've got to get on that.
And Marie's dying to say something rude about Southampton, which is fine. Carry on.
Oh, did I really make it obvious? Oh, I detest them. Absolutely detest them. I think as a Wimbledon fan growing up in Winchester, everybody supported Southampton. So I spent all my years being trolled for being a Wimbledon fan when we were playing combined counties. Never heard of them. So I've always had a bit of a irrational hatred.
Anne-Marie, don't worry. They still troll us now. You know, my son-in-law is a big Southampton fan, and so I get trolled every week. But I try and, you know, go to as many games to keep him happy as possible. But it's a different feel. So yeah, we got to get on it. Our stadium is fantastic. We know it. We've seen it. We can do some amazing things there. Let's just get it right and get the AV working appropriately, etc., etc. Come on, Mark, get us on to the next thing.
Probably stuff. Well, you know what? We could talk about the stuff relating to the elections, but we've been really positive all night, so I don't want to kind of lead us back into toxic waters, so to speak. I was just going to say excellent stuff being done at the club in terms of the Black History Month and things that people have talked about with regards to issues that have happened in the past. Focusing on ticketing, for example, as a ticketing manager being that's gone online, I think, in the last couple of days, in terms of that's something as a specific job that we are now looking to employ. And it looks like that's a reasonable salary-ish. I don't know about the what that type of salary should, what the type of technical role should actually get salary-wise. But, you know, fair play to them. A lot of the time, fans will naturally, on or off the pitch, protest about things that happened, and there's a legacy about that in terms of they always believe things will always go wrong and they always want, and they won't necessarily give the club a second chance. So I think fair play to the club. They're actually realizing where they've gone wrong, where things need to be done, and they're picking up on that type of area, which means that moving forward, which is what we can do and what we have to do, both on and off the pitch, obviously, then we can do that in a positive way, you know? So that's hopefully the message that Niall and Anne-Marie's existing Don Trust board members are giving. I was just going to ask them to wrap up this last little section to say, what advice would you potentially between you give to any candidates looking to stand, including our dear friend Adam?
Listen, be patient. Be constructive, and I think, don't think you can do it all. Reach out to other people, make sure you kind of get other people on board to help, and encourage people to do all they can to help the club we all love.
I'm not sure I could add too much more to any of that. It was great advice. Absolutely. Be patient. Like I said, it's about not expecting, always getting quick wins. And give yourself that patience and time to kind of understand the role and how you fit in and how everyone sort of how the sort of day to day runnings of a football club work. So any other advice? I mean, also I would say, you know, in terms of what you have in your manifesto and what the reasons are that you're going into it, just try and remind yourself of that, why you want to do it, and try not to be sort of swayed by other people's judgment of what you should be doing, although that may be positive, but I think generally remember the why, remember the reason you did it, and try not to sway from that, because it's only a short amount of time you get to be on there to try and make that difference.
Sage advice. Fabulous. Thanks, guys. So all very serious conversation, but let's wrap things up in our usual silly way with some numbers, whereas, as mentioned before, we just throw some numbers out there and then you have to give the answer to what the numbers are. So obviously we'll start with our guest. So the number for Anne-Marie is 39. What is the question that to which 39 is the answer?
You're so evil, Mark. Why would you start with our guest? This is the worst part of the podcast. We know this.
It's just a bit of fun. Just a bit of fun.
Is it the squad number for our new signing, Courtney Senior?
Oh, that is a good shout. It's probably true as well, but I genuinely don't know because I didn't know we didn't sign him until I saw him on the team sheet on Saturday. So no, I'm afraid that's not the answer. Anybody else?
Is it the number of minutes before we scored our first... Is it number of games since I last saw us win at home?
Probably. No, it's probably even more than that, though. No, we've had that one before already, so...
Is it...
Oh, I know what it is. It's the amount of time it takes them to serve a cup of tea at the concession during half-time.
Hey, I went to Cobham Rugby Club yesterday with my son, watching my son play under-16s rugby. And the service was pretty quick, but the quality of the food and the cost of the food was far, far worse than anything we serve up at Ploughland. The answer is actually, unfortunately, he's just got injured again, sadly. And I was thinking people give Will Nightingale a bit of a hard time in terms of how supposedly often he is injured. So I looked up, and in the last couple of seasons, he's played 35 and 39 games, respectively. So 39 is the most number of games Will's played in one individual season as a Wimbledon player. But 39 in a season is pretty good. So I thought that was positive. Okay, for Adam, we've got a season as opposed to a number. The season is 2015-2016. What last happened in 2015-2016 at Wimbledon that's never not happened since then?
Oh, God. Why do you do this to me? Okay. Did Hayden do a somersault? No, Hayden breakdanced on the pitch. That's what happened. I'm pretty confident of it in 2015-16. Either that or we were... Did we not get... We didn't get promoted or relegated? No? Well, forget it, Mark. Why do you even ask me?
Anne-Marie probably knows. What happened at the end of that season, Anne-Marie?
Well, we got promoted at the end of that season.
Correct. So what might have happened overall? That wasn't the answer, by the way. What? So to get promoted, what has to happen?
We win more games than we lost.
Yeah, and to win games, what has to happen?
We scored.
So
I think it's the last time one of our players scored a hat-trick.
It's actually the last time one of our players scored 20 league goals or more. Lyle Taylor, baby. Season 2015-2016. No one's done it since then. Okay. For Niall, if he gets this one wrong, I think we should basically sack him from the podcast. The number is 756.
756?
Yes.
Is that how many... That's got to be how many games it was since I last saw us win. 756. The number of minutes since we last won a game before Saturday? 756. Oh, it's got to be. Is it the number of minutes since Zanef last kept a clean sheet? Is it? Zanef's the confidence goalkeeper. It's a very good save at the end, by the way. I'll give him that. It was a great save.
What is the game?
Is 756 the last amount of days since we last played at King's Meadow?
Come on, Matt, put him out of his misery. You must know this.
Mark, because you have the answers in front of you, just you saying random numbers at us doesn't mean we know them. I think we should do this next time. I'm just go, Mark, you must know the answer to this.
Happy to, yeah, no problem.
Mark, I've got it. Mark, is the answer 3 from the top, 2 from the middle, 2 from the bottom?
Yes, Carol, it is. No, we've been talking about the Duns Trust Board elections for the last few weeks, and we will for the next few weeks anyway.
756, the amount of days since I got elected.
That's the amount of votes you had.
756 is the number of votes that Niall had, which you'd think Niall would know, right?
Why would you?
Adam got it right. And I think we've officially sacked Niall from the podcast, which is fine. Good. We'll get a word in editor.
Why would he know that?
I can't believe I didn't know that. I should have got the T-shirt
A man with such a small ego wouldn't know a thing like that. Okay, finally for Matt, this was a general football question, so anyone jump in. This relates to football divisions, so a division of the four in the Football League. And it's not the Premier League, by the way.
English, thanks.
It's English, English. Yeah, so the number is 18. Yeah. And what's the question? 1-8.
Number of sides that get promoted each season.
Obviously. No, it relates to one division only.
The number of clubs with the letter E in it in Division League Two.
You see what we have to put up with every week, Anne-Marie, you know?
That's probably right.
Anne-Marie does see what we have to put up with every week, Mark.
I'm totally thrown by this one. I'm totally thrown. I can't even...
No.
Can you give us another clue?
Another clue? Okay, well, it's not League One or League Two.
Brilliant.
So right. Something in League Three and...
No, he's talking Championship or Premier League.
Are there 18 ex-Premier League teams in the Championship?
Probably, but no, that's not it.
No.
Are there...
Is it 18 sides don't get relegated from the Premier League?
It's what they think. Well, it's all relating to promotion or
the amount of clubs in the Championship that spend less than 100% of their salary on their revenue on wages.
Unlikely. I'll put you out of your misery.
That's probably true, by the way.
I reckon it's only 18 clubs below Division 3 serve Bovril rather than Marmite.
Where can you get Marmite?
From
what
ground
can you get Marmite? You can't get Marmite anywhere.
You can't get Marmite.
There isn't even a one to balance that 18. 18, you know, whatever. How many clubs sell Bovril? That's probably more likely.
Yeah, all of them.
Quit while we're ahead. The answer is...
Well, can you ever say, did you get Bovril when we were played at Highbury or White Hart Lane? At the Spurs Stadium? No, you couldn't get Bovril. Nowhere can you buy Bovril. And you're a vegan. Why would you even want Bovril?
I don't know. I want Marmite. That's what I just said. I want a Marmite hot drink.
You don't get Marmite hot drinks. Marmite hot drinks is Bovril.
So that's the two things that need to happen. Get
Marmite is not Bovril.
Getting orange juice. Marmite and orange juice will solve all of our problems.
It's a priority for the Donstrass board.
Put that on your thing.
Adam, how many people do you know drink Marmite hot drink? I've never known it. Well, you. Mark, Matt. Anne-Marie, have you ever drunk Marmite hot drink?
So I'm celiac, gluten-free, and Marmite is the triple threat because it's got wheat, barley and rye. So.
Okay, on that bombshell, we will tell you the answer, which is...
No, hold on, Mark. Right, so basically, Adam and Anne-Marie, you're doomed and you're kind of campaign for Marmite.
Marmite manifesto.
That would be it. If Anne-Marie stands against Adam, that'll be all about. It'll be the Marmite Wars. I said, do you speak my language? He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich.
And he said, I come from a la-la-la-la. Okay, the answer is 18 championship clubs have changed their manager since the beginning of last season. It could, of course, be Watford have probably changed their manager 18 times in that time period, but 18 different clubs.
Thank you,
anyway,
Mark.
On that bombshell, I would like to say a massive thank you to Anne-Marie Godfrey for giving up her time this evening.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Invite me back.
Please come back soon. Absolutely. More than welcome. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Niall. Thank you, Matt. Big shout out to all those people listening in who told me off for things I said wrong in the past. This has been episode 7 of Same Old Wombles. You can find us in the usual places on Spotify and Apple and anywhere else you love your podcast feeds every week. We're here every Tuesday morning and we'll see you soon. Thank you and good night.